in mind. All right. Take your Bibles again, 2 Timothy 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5 here in just a moment. But as I was thinking on this special day of Mother's Day, my mind began to think of many, many different portions of Scripture and different ladies in Scripture, in the Bible, that we could look at this morning. My mind automatically went to Proverbs chapter 31, as you see the Proverbs 31 lady whose price is far above rubies. And that'd be a great example, would it not, as a lady to strive to be, a Proverbs 31 lady. We can look at the mother, Hannah, who prayed for a son. Even in her affliction, in her pain, she prevailed with God through prayer. And you can see and even use that as a great pattern in our lives as the importance and vitality of praying. You can look at Sarah. Sarah was a great lady, how God blessed her in her old age and how she served as a great example as she looked at her husband and called him Lord. And, whew, man, I was just kidding. That was a hard crowd right there. All right. I was kidding. All right. But the Bible does say that. But that's not where I was going to go with it. Okay. But you can see that. You can see even in Esther, how her courage to follow the Lord no matter what. It was just amazing to see that. You can see Mary Magdalene, how her treasured worship as she worshiped at the feet of Jesus. Also, Mary, the sister of Martha, did the same as she fell at Jesus' feet and heard his word. You can see Martha, how she served the Lord with her life and many others as well. That was a characteristic of her life, was that of service. You can see Deborah, how she was a courageous judge in the Old Testament who helped rescue and deliver her people. You can see the lady, Ruth, who was a woman who truly abandoned all for God. She looked at Naomi and said, look, your people be my people. Your God will be my God. So she did that. All right, you can look at the lady, Jael, who a very courageous and tenacious lady who took a tent spike in one hand and a hammer in the other hand and killed her enemy. Yeah, it's in the Bible, all right, Judges chapter 4. But you can see so many other ladies and portions of Scripture that we can see and uncover great truths and great patterns we can look at and to apply them to our own lives, all right? And see great examples. Of course, you can see other examples in Scripture of what not to be. I can say one word and you'll probably understand what I'm saying. But here's the name, Jezebel. All right. Everybody serves as an example, either good or bad. I'm just saying, all right? It depends on which one you want to be. But we can look at so many in Scripture. So many ladies, so many portions of the Bible to look at for this special day as we consider Mother's Day. But there's one that kept coming to my mind. There's one that kept laying upon my heart, and that was that of 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verses 1 through 5. You see, it's here in this portion of Scripture that you will find the mother and grandmother of the young man that we know of as Timothy. And as we study Scripture, we can see how Timothy to be a very important character in the Bible. After all, Timothy was a companion of Paul. Timothy was with Paul when he would start churches as he preached, went about doing the same things. He was a preacher boy, if you will, of Paul. Even Paul looked at Timothy, and we'll see in a moment as he wrote to him, and wrote these words, my beloved son in the faith. He called him a son in the faith, called him a beloved son. He loved Timothy very, very much. Timothy, no doubt, was a pastor. Timothy was a mentor. He taught others as well. He was a teacher. Timothy had two books of the Bible named after him as Paul would write to him. Look, Timothy himself would never be forgotten, a very important man and character in Scripture. But Timothy, he wasn't a self-made man. No, Timothy, he had a lot of help along the way. He had a lot of guidance along the way. He had this. He had a very godly grandmother and a very godly mother who pointed him to Jesus, who pointed him to the Bible. Yes, Paul may have been his mentor and may have taught him and showed Timothy the way of the Lord more clearly, but it was Timothy's mother and grandmother that pointed him to Jesus in the first place. So that's where I'd like to look, all right? And let's look at 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verses 1 through 5, and we'll jump on a phrase. It's really a two-word phrase that I would like to highlight this morning, all right? But starting verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse number 3. I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Verse number 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Now look at verse 5 again and highlight these two words. When I call to remembrance thee, here it is, unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. So if you're taking notes this morning, the title of the morning message is this: the unfeigned faith of Lois and Eunice. The unfeigned faith of Lois and Eunice. The first thing I'd like for us to see about their unfeigned faith is this. Number one, we've got to define some terms, okay? So number one, the definition. What does it mean to have unfeigned faith? Well, the word unfeigned itself means this. Unfeigned means not counterfeit. It means not hypocritical. It means to be real, to be sincere, to be undisguised, to live without a mask. All right, now look. I know in the day and age in which we live, okay, that's not what this is talking about, all right? It's talking about being hypocritical, okay, without a mask. That's what, we'll get to that point in a minute. But anyway, that's what it means, all right? To live undisguised, to not be hypocritical in your faith. So on the flip side of unfeigned faith is that of hypocritical faith. That is the opposite of unfeigned. It would be hypocritical faith. So while we're on the defining of terms, understand what hypocritical faith is, and we'll come back around to unfeigned faith, all right? But understand what hypocritical faith is. The word hypocrite comes from here. It comes from the Greek compound word, and it comes from hypocrites, all right? Hypocrites, okay? Probably not exactly how you say it, but it's close enough. You get it, okay? But that's where it comes from. The word hypocrite comes from the Greek word, which means this: an actor. It means an actor. You see, the Greek word itself is a compound word and made from two Greek words that literally translate to an interpreter from underneath. Now, that definition of interpreter from underneath sounds a little strange, but it makes more sense when you understand that the actors in the ancient Greek time in a theater would wear large masks to identify which character they were playing. And as they played that particular character, they would tell the story of that character with that mask on from underneath their masks. So as time went on, the Greek word took on an extended meaning to refer to any person who was wearing a figurative mask or pretending to be someone or something they were not. And it took long enough time for the word hypocrite to gain its more general meaning today as we know it, and it is this. A hypocrite is someone, a person who acts in contradiction to his or her stated beliefs or feelings. And so when it came to hypocritical faith, Jesus in the Bible had much to say about it. The Bible says this in Matthew 15, verses 7 through 9. Ye hypocrites, Jesus speaking, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Basically saying this: your lips and your life don't match up. Therefore, that's hypocritical living, hypocritical faith. Again, if you go to Matthew chapter 23 and verses 13 through 29, you'll see eight times you will see, as Jesus looks at the scribes and Pharisees and pronounces a woe unto them, or a judgment unto them, and calls them each time hypocrites. And it says this, I'll read the first one to you, Matthew 23:13. But woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. If you were to look at this verse, I encourage you, write write down a reference, look at it later, Matthew 23:13, all right, through 29. But if you read after that phrase, as Jesus makes that statement, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, and he says it's hypocrites, you'll find a punctuation after that. Now, punctuation is not a period. It's not a comma. It's not a question mark. No, it's an exclamation mark. So when Jesus was looking at these men and pointing them out for their hypocritical living, hypocritical faith, he was not being calm about it, all right? He was not using light tones. No, he was making it known what he meant, okay? Very powerful tone, and probably yelling at them, all right? He was saying, you hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, he says it eight times. I mean, he is giving them down the road, all right? He was always rough on these guys for this reason. Their hypocritical faith. He was extra hard on these Pharisees. You know why? Because these Pharisees knew better. These Pharisees had the truth. These Pharisees knew the Scriptures. They had large portions of the Bible memorized. They had a, if I can say it this way, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That was them in a nutshell. They knew better. They were not real, though. They were hypocritical. They were putting on a mask and putting on a show just to make themselves look good to the people around them. They were very hypocritical in their living and hypocritical when it came to their faith, or really lack thereof. But he was so hard on these guys, this religious crowd. You know why? Because they knew better. They knew better, but they didn't act better. So when it comes to hypocritical faith, you know what a person is doing if that is the kind of faith they are showing or giving or teaching even. When it comes to that, you know what they're doing? They're just pretending. They're just playing a game. They're just playing church. And in the moment, they are not being real. And Jesus, I want you to understand something, had no use for that kind of faith. Had no use for that kind of living. None. He actually pronounced a judgment upon that kind of living. And it was through very religious people. You never will you see him pronouncing that kind of judgment on Mary Magdalene, someone who was caught in, I don't know if it's Mary Magdalene. Anyway, it's one of the Marys of like 50 that's in the Bible. One of them that was caught in adultery, okay? You never see that about him. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that to ones that didn't necessarily live as such as the Pharisees, who knew better. But he did to these guys. He did to these guys because they knew the truth, yet did not act upon it. Look. This kind of faith, this hypocritical faith, it was not found in Timothy like it was found in the Pharisees. No, the faith that Timothy had back in our text in 2 Timothy chapter 1, this kind of faith that he had was this. It was unfeigned. It was real. It was sincere. It was genuine. It was without hypocrisy. But the question has to be asked as you look at this. Where did this great character in the Bible, where did Timothy learn about this unfeigned faith? Well, it wasn't from Paul. All right? It wasn't from Paul. Though he traveled with Paul, and though he learned much from Paul, no, he didn't learn, initially at least, did not learn to have the seed of unfeigned faith planted in him by the apostle. No, it wasn't about with Paul. It wasn't even with Timothy's daddy. You see, in Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 2, we get a glimpse of who his dad was, all right? And the Bible says this, I'll read it to you. But Acts 16, 1 through 2. Then came he, that's Paul, to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed. But his father was a Greek. So, we get a little bit of sense of who his daddy who his dad was, all right? When the Bible says of Timothy's mother that she was a Jewess and believed, and then it says, but his father was a Greek. That word there, but, here is showing a strong contrast. He is saying, look, Timothy's mother, she was a believer, but his father, more than likely, was not so. He was a Greek. He pointed out he was a Greek, meaning during his time, many of those that would follow their traditions or follow their superstitions were polytheists. They worshiped many different Greek gods, and there were many of them in that area. I think they said there was more gods than temples during his time or something like that, but that's what his daddy would have been leaning towards. He was a Greek. So if this was the case, if his dad truly was not a believer, did not trust in the Lord, he did not learn of unfeigned faith from his daddy. Where did he learn about unfeigned faith? This real, genuine faith. Genuine, real trust. Who made it known that Jesus was real to Timothy? It wasn't Paul. It wasn't his daddy. But look at it in verse number 5, back in your text. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. Who was it? When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Where did he learn it? Of the real, genuine faith, where did he learn it? He learned it from his grandma. He learned it from his mama. Mamas, can I tell you something? You have more influence on your children than you can ever imagine. Grandmama, you have more influence on your grandbabies than you ever imagined. You have so much influence, so much opportunity, so much opportunity to shape their lives or to taint their lives. So much opportunity to point those babies to Jesus or point them away from Jesus. So much opportunity to prove the truth of the Bible in your life or cast a shadow over it. So much opportunity in our lives to give to our kids, to truly show that this faith in Christ that we preach, that we teach, is real. You have that opportunity. More than you realize, you have so much influence on your children. And such was the case in Timothy's life, Lois, Eunice. They had so much influence on this young man's life. We're reading about him, and even them, thousands of years later, we're reading about these people. Why? Because they were unfeigned, sincere, genuine, real, without hypocrisy. That kind of real faith. Unfeigned. It's real. So this unfeigned faith, what did Lois and Eunice do? Or number two, here's what they did. They taught it to Timothy. They taught it to him. Again, as Paul was writing to Timothy in this book of 2 Timothy, he made it known again how he knew that Timothy knew the Word of God. He said this, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He said, look, from a child, from a baby. Now, this word child is not 10, 11, 12, 15 years old. No, from a child, before you could even talk. Before you can ever read, here's what was happening. Mama and grandma, she was teaching you the Bible. Teaching you. You have known from a child, known the Holy Scriptures. Again, who was doing it? Wasn't Paul. Wasn't his daddy. No, it was his mama. Mama had a lot of influence on Timothy's life. And so did grandma. Can I encourage you with something, parents? Can I encourage you to teach your kids the Word of God? Teach them the Scriptures. I think so many times as parents, we want to leave that teaching up to the pastor. I mean, what are we paying for anyway? You know, or we want to bring our teenagers to the youth director. I mean, what are we paying for anyway? Let the youth director teach my kids. As youth director here for over 9 years, I learned a very freeing and just absolute wonderful truth. And it's about 2 years in. And I learned this, that as the youth director of Bowling Springs Baptist Church, I was not the real youth director of Bowling Springs Baptist Church. It was great. It really was. It took a lot of pressure off of me because I found out who the real youth directors were. You want to know who they are? Parents. The parents of Bowling Springs Baptist Church are the real youth directors of Bowling Springs Baptist Church. You should be directing your children, pastoring your children. You should be teaching your kids. And when they come here, and yes, the pastor should be teaching the Word of God. And if he doesn't, fire him. All right, I give you permission. Okay, fire him, get rid of him. If the youth director doesn't teach the Word of God, we'll get rid of him too. All right, the Sunday school teachers, if they don't teach the Word of God, we'll find somebody that will. But yes, when they come, they should be learning as we're teaching and preaching the Word of God, yes. But it really should just be an echo from what they're hearing at home from mama and daddy. Teach the Word of God to your kids. Teach them. You see, Lois and Eunice had such an impact in Timmy's life. I'm gonna keep calling him Timmy. I hope that's okay. On his life, that it had such an impact that he was, even the brethren, the Bible says in Acts 16, I believe it's verse number 2, that even the brethren, he had a good report among the brethren, among the church. Was because of the seeds that was planted in his heart and life by his grandma and by his mama. You teach your kids. Please, teach your children the Word of God. Teach them. Teach them. Teach your kids. Here's some verses to prove that point, all right? Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to read the first 7 verses of that chapter. But it's really at the end of that is where we want to hammer home. But it says this. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land where they go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in a land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thine soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And here it is, listen carefully. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Teach them. Teach your kids how good God has been to your life. Show them. Teach them how good he's been. Teach them. Teach them. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 11:19, again, speaking of teaching the word, is this. And ye shall teach them, that's the Bible, the word, teach them your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. He says, won't you teach them the word of God and show them again how good God has been to you, brought you out of the Egypt, and just talking about all the difficulties that they had faced for many, many years, 400 years in Egypt and 40 years in the desert. And when you come to the promised land, come into victory, teach your kids that it was God that gave you victory. Teach your children. Psalm 78:4, we will not hide them. Again, that's the word, that's the teaching. Not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. Teach them. Please teach your kids the word of God, all right? Please. We're reading of Lois and Eunice, women who diligently taught Timothy, the word of God. It came from mama and grandma. You are highly important. Please understand that. And teach your kids the word of God. So as they taught, all right, of the faith, they taught of the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, they taught of the unfeigned faith. Here's what I really want to get to this morning is this, number three. Timothy would have caught that teaching. So they taught it, but Timothy caught it. All right? They taught it. He caught it. Look at verse number 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy mother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, grandmother Lois, and our mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Paul said, it's in you too, man. See, Timothy, he caught it. When Paul recalls the unfeigned faith that's in Timothy, he knew where that first came from. It first came from Lois. And Lois could have been the very first convert, one of the first converts, and at least the first convert in the family when Paul came to Lystra the first time. You see, Paul saw that faith in them then. But now he sees that same faith in Timothy. So that tells Paul something. That tells Paul that he no doubt had learned about this faith. He was taught about this faith, but Timothy, he caught it as well. It wasn't just a head knowledge. No, it was showing up and leaking out in his life. He had caught it. He had caught it. Now, what do you mean that he caught this faith of his mother? Here's what I mean. The only way to catch the faith of your parents is to see the faith of your parents. To see it. To see it. To see his mother's faith. He saw something that was unfeigned. He saw something that was real. It was sincere. It was genuine. It was without hypocrisy. It was unmasked. It was real. He saw it. He saw it. He saw his mother's faith. You see, I believe that Eunice and Lois, they didn't just teach Timothy how to live. They didn't just teach Timothy of the Bible. They didn't just teach Timothy how to trust. They didn't just teach Timothy to serve the Lord. They didn't say, it's good for thee, but not for me. That's not how they lived. They didn't just teach him. No, they showed him how to serve. Showed him how to believe. Showed him how to trust. They showed him their faith. And he saw it was real. Mama and grandma don't just talk the talk. No, they walk the walk as well. It's real. It's real. Who in here drives? All right. Who in here, your mama taught you to drive? How many tickets you got? I'm just kidding. No. Who in here, your daddy taught you to drive? All right. Somebody taught you to drive, right? Well, my dad, he taught me how to drive. He started me out when I was young. I'm talking like 6, 7, 8 years old. He said, "You're going to learn how to drive this stick shift, son." Okay, Daddy. And by the way, in 2021 with the millennials, if you want an anti-theft device, go buy a straight drive. All right. Anyway. But he's like, "You're going to learn to drive this." I said, "Okay." But you know what he didn't do? He did not get in the passenger side and let me sit all by myself in the driver's side. He didn't do that. He didn't say, "All right, sit there, and this right here is the clutch, that's the brake, that's the gas, here's the steering wheel, here's the stick, and have at it." Yeah, I can't even touch the pedals, you know, nothing. You know, he didn't do that. He didn't do that. You know what he did? He said, "All right, boy, I'm going to teach you how to drive. Come here." Pick me up, put me on his lap. I said, "Okay, grab the steering wheel." "Let's do this. You know, I'm ready." He said, "You got to learn a few things first. Let me see your hand." Here's my hand. Puts it on the shifter, on the stick. All right. Then he takes his hand, puts it on my hand. All right. He says, "You see this pedal?" "Yes, sir. That's the clutch. I'm going to push it in. Put your leg on top of my leg." "Okay, yes, sir." "See how I push it all the way in?" "Yes, sir." "Now push it up to the one. That's called first gear. Grind it till you find it." No. So put it in one. "Okay. Now, you see this over here?" "Yes, sir. That's called the gas. You got to ease that on the clutch and push on the gas, and then it'll start going." You know, you get to learn it, you know. But he didn't say, "Here's how you do it, now go to town." No, he showed me. He's picked me up, put me in his lap, and showed me how to drive. Over a few tries, we got there, okay. Almost ran into the house one time. No big deal. I just forgot to push the brake and the clutch at the same time. I was excited. Anyway, yeah, you push just the brake. Without the clutch, all right, try it one time. Anyway, so he taught me to drive. My stepdad, he taught me how to cut grass. You know what he didn't do? He didn't put me up and put me on the mower and say, "Have fun, praying for you." He didn't do that. No, he said, "You want to cut grass?" "Yes, sir." "Come here." Pick me up, put me on his lap. He said, "All right, here's how you adjust the deck up and down. You want to have a good, clean cut. You want to go to number 3, number 4. That's where we're normally at. That's where you put it at. Here's the PTO. Here's how you engage the blade. You push that up, and here's the gas, and take off. Here we go. Wow." Cutting grass, you know. But he didn't say, "Good luck." No, he picked me up and showed me, physically put me on his lap and showed me how to cut the grass. Look, there's a difference between teaching your kids and training them. All right? Training always involves teaching, always. But teaching does not always involve training. There's a verse of scripture I left out on purpose when we're talking about in the first or second point, rather, when Lois and Eunice taught Timothy. And it's one we use a lot when it comes to teaching our children, and rightfully so. All right? But the Bible says this in, where is it? I'll find my place in a minute. Got way off track, but it's all right. It is Proverbs, where it says this, "Train up a child," all right, "train up," Proverbs 22:6, there it is, "train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now again, here he says train. I believe training, yes, it involves teaching, but it goes beyond just telling them what to do. It shows them. You show them. You train them. You show them. Look, when I was playing football, my coaches, they didn't just tell us what to do. They would show us. They'll say, here's how you block. Here's how you use your hands. Here's the swim move. Here's the spin move. Here's how you hit somebody properly so you don't get hurt-ish. And anyway, but here's what you do. When your coach is training you how to hit the ball, he doesn't just say, "All right, put your bat there and stand there, that's good, and then just keep swinging until you figure it out." No, he shows you how to swing. He shows you how to step. When you learn how to pitch, he shows you how to hold the ball. He shows you how to throw the ball, so forth and so on. He shows you, right? That's called training. We need parents today to train their children of how to trust Jesus. That's how your kids will catch it, if you train them. Not just, "Here's what the Bible says, you need to do that, son." "Well, why ain't you, Daddy?" Yeah, it got me too, all right? "Here's what you need to do, daughter." "Well, why ain't you doing it, Mama?" No questions, you know. You have to show them. What you teach them has to show up in your in your life. All I'm saying is a difference between teaching and training. And if you want your kids to have that sincere, real, unfeigned faith, you're going to have to show them what that looks like. And as you show them what that looks like, they will catch it. And when they get older and they start having their struggles, when they start having their difficulties, when they start having their troubles, you know what they're going to do? Instead of being tempted, they're probably tempted to turn to the world. But instead of that having so much more impact and more draw, they're going to look back and say, you know, my mom went through something. My daddy went through something like this before. But I didn't see them turn to the bottle. I didn't see them turn to immorality. I didn't see them turn to drugs. But I did see them continue going faithfully to church. I did see them open their Bible and start reading it. I did see them get on their knees and pray and get right with God. I did see them spend time with Jesus. And it was real to them. It was real to me too. Show them. Show them what it means to have unfeigned faith. Don't just tell them. Train them. Teach them. Teach them. So, in this moment, how are you training your children? What are you showing them? I didn't ask you what you're telling them. What are you showing them? Because I want you to know something. They're looking for something real so they can hold on to it too, because there's enough fake out in this world. They need something real. They need to see it from mom and daddy. Hey, look, so I've got two silver coins. No, you can't have them. But two silver coins, all right? One of them's real and one of them's fake. Hey, guys, what's up? All right. Now, I want you to look at them. Tell me which one's fake. Don't go by the picture. That one's fake? Do you agree?
Yeah.
Okay. You're wrong. I know. That's okay. I've been wrong once before too. Don't worry. All right? You see, I took these coins. I was trying to help out some family, and I took these coins to an appraiser. And I think he had 27 of them in a box. And I said, I want to know what their value and make sure they're real and all this and that. He said, you got a good collection. They're all real but one. I'm looking at them like, which one? I mean, they're all shiny. They're all silver looking. They're all got faces on them, numbers on them, names on them. They're all in even a protective case. It looks fancy. You know, which one's fake? And he pointed out to me, he showed me, it was this one right here. He said, that one's just not real. But I said, it's so shiny. It looks so real. He said, I'll give you $1 for it. I'm like, no, I'll keep it. I won't keep it. But it looked so real, looked just like the rest of them. But it was fake. It was useless. It was worthless. Our children need to see something real that is genuine, that is sincere, that is unfeigned. Because something that's hypocritical, something that's useless, is just that. It's good for nothing. That shouldn't be your faith. That shouldn't be the faith of mama. Shouldn't be the faith of daddy. It shouldn't be the faith of grandma, grandpa. That shouldn't be your faith. Shouldn't be your trust. It shouldn't be your life. Look, I understand we all go through difficulties and troubles, and it's hard to sometimes understand which way to turn, which way to go. I get that. But be sure you always turn to Jesus. Be sure you always turn to the Bible. Be sure you always turn to prayer. Be sure you always turn to the church. Be sure to turn to what's right. Because you got people, little eyes, watching which way you turn. They know what you're going through. They're not dumb. Kids, they're not. They know what 2 and 2 is, most of them. All right? They can put 2 and 2 together at least. And say, I know what mama said, but I know what mama's doing. I know what daddy said, but I know what daddy's doing. And what he said sounds good, but what he's living isn't. They can do that. Listen, as parents, we have such a high responsibility. And as I said in the very beginning, such a wonderful opportunity to point our kids, to shape our kids, point them to Jesus, and to show them unfeigned faith. So please, I encourage you this morning to have that kind of faith and to show it. Live it out.